This particular concerto has been described as being athletic and a combination of grace and vigor. When they talk about Mozart and being athletic, how is it athletic?
You could definitely hear the athleticism in the third movement more than any other place. The scalar passages, the runs, the arpeggios, they seem to be perpetual in the third movement with very little time for the music to breathe.
Mm. So you're just going and going.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I would say the second movement is where you would get the grace, the more lyrical melody, a lot softer, a lot slower, almost if it was a song without words.
It's beautiful. I love that. I just think of it as crystalline. It's just a beautiful melody,
exactly.
One after the next. There's no margin for error in Mozart. How do you approach it so that that's just normal? You're ready to sit down and bang it out?
Well, what you said is actually something that I think about every time I practice. There is little margin for error in Mozart. I've played a lot of Mozart recently. Although it may not be as technically challenging as works by, say, Chopin or Liszt, there really is little margin for error because of the lighter texture in Mozart's music. As a pianist, you can't slam down the damper pedal and expect to blur everything together, but you really have to let every note sing through clearly so that everything is equally important.
Do you enjoy that part of it?
I enjoy that part of it. It's a challenge when you first start to work on a piece, but you get to a point when you realize that it's actually fun music, that you forget how difficult it is. And what makes it the easiest to practice for me is to approach it with the mind of a child, because Mozart, as we all know, was a child prodigy and a genius with everything he wrote. So when I take that mindset that Mozart probably didn't write this concerto with the intent to make it the most difficult piece he could, he just wrote what he felt inside. And when I try to get into the music and enjoy it just as much as the composer would have, that's what makes it easier and more rewarding to play.
I want to get at some of your favorite moments in the piece. The first movement, I love that one-note theme. Mm-hmm. What do you do to make it yours? I mean, can you hum that for me, that theme?
Dum, dum, da, dum, bum, 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 ba-dum, bum, ba-dum, bum, bum, bum.
It sounds like the one-note samba. I mean, it's very simple in that sense melodically, but you've got to make it your own. How do you make that sing?
Make the short note even a little shorter than it should be, which was a custom at one point in music history. You could hear this melody, bum, bum, ba, bum, bum, ba, ba, ba. But you could take that same rhythm and give it more character by performing it, ba, 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 ba.
Big difference. Yeah, right away. Mm-hmm. There's the drama in that. The second movement is a lot of the grace part of that original assessment of the piece. How do you get in the headspace for performance? What are you thinking about?
Most people know Mozart above all things as an opera composer. So when I think of this middle movement, I think of an aria. I try to play it as if I were a singer. If this had words to it, and different people may imagine a different storyline or different words to fit this melody, but whatever the words may be, I try to inflect the melody as a singer would, being careful that I pay special attention to the high points in the melody, the climaxes, the rises and the falls, and making each phrase go somewhere.
There's a lot of back and forth between the woodwinds and piano in this
yes.
movement, a lot of conversational things. What kind of back and forth is there throughout this movement for you?
Conversation is a great word to use. A lot of times it's like a canon. The orchestra will start this particular melody, and then the piano will pick it up in the right hand, followed by the piano in the left hand. So you've got the same idea going, but starting at three separate times, and the overlap creates beautiful harmonies. And it also gives the soloist and the orchestra a chance to imitate one another.
What's that like? When you don't know the orchestra, you're sitting down in front of the orchestra for the first time.
Well, what it's like is it gives a freshness to the piece, because any orchestra and any conductor and any pianist is going to play it differently. So depending on those three entities, it could be a different performance each time. And that's what makes music so much fun. You can play off of one another and never have the same performance twice.
The third movement, you kick this off all by yourself, and it's,
yes.
it's quite a departure tempo-wise from the previous movement. We're talking about moving from Allegretto, kind of mm-hmm. a light-walking tempo, a little bit faster, into Allegro. What thoughts are going through your head to set that up?
Third movements are a lot of fun, and it's not a rare thing in concertos of the classical period for the third movement to start right with the soloist. For me, it gives me a sense of control that I set the mood, I set the tempo, I set the pace, and the conductor and the orchestra kind of fall in line with me. Compared to the first movement where the orchestra starts and it gives the audience time to familiarize themselves with the theme before the soloist comes in, with this movement, it's like there's no introduction. It's just a jump start, like right away, throwing you into the action. It, to me, it's the equivalent of a movie with action right from scene one.
What are you looking forward to most about this performance coming up with the Winston-Salem Symphony?
Playing with the symphony, since the first time I've done it, it has always been one of the most exciting things. But I think what I'm looking forward to most this time is the educational aspect of it. I visited an elementary school, Village Park Elementary and High School, earlier this week and talked to the students a little bit about what a symphony is, what a concerto is. And some of them will be at this concert. So not just those children, but other people in the community that I've invited, students at Winston-Salem State University, people from local churches. I'm excited about sharing classical music with an audience who otherwise does not attend classical concerts. I am excited about the chance to expose them to something new. I've invited hundreds of people who I've been in contact with throughout the city, and many of them said that they will be here to support me. But my hope is, after this concert, they will continue to visit the symphony now and again, even when I'm not there.
Great. And now you're at Winston-Salem State.
Yes, sir.
On the faculty there since 2010. What's going on at Winston-Salem State University currently in the music department?
There is always something going on in the music department. I am the pianist for the university choir, and we've got some events coming up in Charlotte. We had an event in Charlotte this past weekend. We will also be singing at Myers Park United Methodist Church this coming Sunday. We are in preparation for our annual fall concert, which will be December 8th. And also, one of our a cappella groups, the Burke Singers, has a performance with the Winston-Salem Symphony coming up right after Thanksgiving.
Now, gospel music, another part of your background?
Yes, sir.
So break it down for me. What makes a great gospel pianist?
Well, one thing you need to figure out as a gospel pianist is how to be spontaneous. Because the nature of gospel music and gospel choirs and conductors, things may never be done the same way twice. And things are very seldom written down on paper. A lot of gospel music is conceived in the head and recorded in the studio or during a live concert or used for worship services, which may flow one way or the other. So a gospel pianist has to be able to adapt on the fly. What I also like about gospel music is the chance to intertwine the gospel style with the classical style, or gospel with jazz, or gospel with blues, because gospel developed from so many other things that there's a close relationship.
Thank you for coming and seeing us.
Thank you. It was my pleasure to be here.